Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Lincoln Journal Star's Life in the Red podcast. Luke Mullen and Amy Just for another week of updates in Nebraska athletics this week. Some good, some bad, some chaotic moments for us to recap. It's certainly been a memorable, eventful week.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah. So absolutely. We'll get into some quick fire, I think, updates here at the start of this pod before we talk in depth about the week in women's basketball, softball. I think two of the notable topics we want to hit on, but starting off with some of our quick updates here. Promise that we talk about wrestling, we talk about track, having great seasons going through right now. And talking about the wrestling team, number 5 ranked Nebraska recently had final home duel, defeated number 9 Michigan 25-7. So really good top-down performance across all the different weight classes. And now 11-1 in team duels. That only loss was to Iowa last month. So really strong performance from the team so far this year.
Yeah, their outing against Michigan. I thought they would win, but I didn't think it would be quite like that. They had the stage built up. It was an incredible atmosphere in there, and it all started with the first match. Huge upset by Caleb Smith, and they just carried the momentum through basically the rest of the evening. Incredible stuff there by them. Ridge Lovett remains undefeated and dominated. Major decision victory for him over his opponent and earned him Big Ten Wrestler of the Week.
Yeah, one of several Huskers who's going to be going for that All-American status here pretty soon, because a couple duels on the road, then they got Big Ten championships. Of course, you know, since this was also last home duel senior day, but only one senior to celebrate, which, you know.
Not true.
One true senior, sorry.
Yeah.
Apologies. But really a great story we're celebrating. Payne Robb, been through so much, and in the midst of a great season too. You know, what was kind of the moment like for him there?
Yeah, so his last time on the mat in Devaney ended a little anticlimactically. His opponent, they had challenged that he had gotten a takedown on Peyton in the last, 3 seconds of the third period. And so there was a review to end the match, which was a little bizarre, but it ended up going in Peyton's favor, won narrowly 2-1. But because of that late challenge, you know, Peyton said he kind of liked that it ended that way because he got to look around at, you know, all the fans and take in that moment, for a little bit of extra time the mat.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really interesting perspective from him. But yeah, no, it was really special. He had a lot of friends and family there. The nurses that he had for his outpatient treatment at St. Elizabeth's were there in a suite. It was really special.
Yeah, great. Great moment that, you know, obviously, you know, I'm sure when he was going through that, you know, physical therapy, you know, recovery process coming back from, you know, that time away from it, that had to be motivating him, you know, to get back to that spot. So really cool, great moment to see him going through all the way with that and celebrate it at senior day. So again, you know, their Big Ten championships on the horizon for them. NCAAs as well here to come up in a couple weeks. So,
but yeah, this week's Penn State, the number one team in the country. They're at Penn State. They don't get Penn State every year. I'm really interested to see what Peyton can accomplish because he'll be going up against Levi Haynes, who it'll be a rematch from last year's Big Ten final. And a rematch from a match that they had in NCAAs before Peyton got sick. So I'm very intrigued to see what happens with that matchup specifically, and then just to see how Nebraska can battle at Penn State. And then their last dual meet is at Arizona State. I don't think all of them, all of your, you know, top tier ranked wrestlers will be wrestling in that one, just to give them a little bit of a break before Big Tens.
Yeah, certainly major challenge coming this weekend, and then more to look forward to for that Nebraska wrestling team. So also updates, track and field team currently going through its indoor season. Recently this last weekend, Nebraska competed at the Tyson Invitational in Arkansas, and really, really a standout performance from this one. Berlin Schutz, freshman distance runner out of Lincoln East, ran a 4 minute, 37 second mile, came from behind on the final stretch to win the race, set a new school record. So impressive, obviously, for any distance runner, but especially for the freshman. I think it was only her third meet, fourth mm-hmm. meet, perhaps. I mean, it's a young season, and the young runner having a lot of success.
Yeah, that is incredible. We knew that she was going to be really good, right? You know, because we get to see her. We got to see her for the past several years, you know, dominating in cross country, dominating in track. And for her to continue her dominant performances as a Husker has been really special to see.
Yeah, and just one of his standout performances. There were a lot of other, good performances, obviously, out in the field, you know, different distance runners, the jumps. So this track team right now will have a more thorough, I think, preview for you coming up, because they've got a tune-up meet here in the Devaney Center at home this weekend, but then Big Ten Indoor Championships, NCAAs after that. We'll have a lot more in depth. I think we got to go through this team in depth, because there's a lot of talent on this track and field team.
Yeah, absolutely. And it wouldn't surprise me if some of the top tier contenders, like with wrestling, don't run in the tune-up. I know Darius Luff will not be running in that, because he told me he wasn't for a story I did on him last week. Still going to be some talented athletes out there. Wouldn't surprise me if the two-sport football guys participate in that, just because they'd only had one meet before that they participated in. So wouldn't surprise me if they are out there competing. So plenty to cheer for.
Yeah, cool moment to potentially watch for in that one. So track and field update. And hey, we gotta talk a little football. It's been a week or two, and thankfully we did get the chance to hear from head coach Matt Rhule. He had his usual national signing day press conference, and only a few kind of recruiting updates. It was a pretty quiet, February period. But that said, I think it was notable that, you know, he said, hey, he's had people telling him, hey, you know, what's Nebraska going to do with this scholarship limit? He said, hey, don't worry. He's going to figure that out. And I think it was also a little bit clear that the situation, you know, they're finding solutions, because they added Keona Wilhite, really talented defensive lineman on scholarship, but then adding a couple walk-ons, NIL accommodations to them, you know, getting creative ways to figure out how to add talent to this roster without dealing with that scholarship crunch. So that was, I think, a notable update.
But yeah, no, they still are significantly over.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it's all solved. They're just confident that they're going to solve it. So
yeah, they're more than 20 over.
Yeah.
Or about 20 over, I guess. But yeah, no, they, lest we forget, they had a scholarship issue last year and they figured it out. So they have to figure it out. It's not a problem that they can just sweep under the rug.
It's a NCAA guidelines thing.
So not guidelines, not protocol, rule. Anyway, we will talk more about
absolutely
protocol stuff later for a different sport. But
foreshadowing there.
A little bit of foreshadowing there. But yeah, no, I'm not overly worried about that. I think that there's a lot that they will learn once spring football rolls around, which is sooner rather than later.
Yeah, absolutely. Certainly. So that was, I think, one of the key updates. And then as well, learning a little bit more about how quarterbacks coach Glenn Thomas is going to fit into this coaching staff, announced as co-offensive coordinator along with Marcus Satterfield. And Rhule kind of providing a little bit of a distinction, you know, clarification about how that process is going to go. He's saying, hey, Satterfield's the play caller, but, you know, this is a pretty common thing among coaching staffs. Like, they're collaborative. Mm-hmm. Both those guys are going to be a huge part of dictating how this offense runs in 2024.
Yeah, and you can tell that you know, the pecking order, right? In terms of, you know, what Rule has said and then, you know, what was unsaid in their contracts, right? It's 800,000 for Thomas, and then no change to Marcus Satterfield's compensation. I requested that. He did have a tweak to his contract, but that was just a title change.
Yep. Taking on the tight ends coach.
Yep.
Yeah. So that was notable. And also, you know, we got the chance to hear from Glenn Thomas as well a couple of days later, you know, sharing a little bit of thought, a little bit of his preliminary thoughts about this quarterback situation. You know, obviously it's been a little bit of a journey from him. I mean, he was coaching in the NFL playoffs. You know, he's got recruiting to deal with as soon as he comes to Nebraska. So that was part of his point. You know, he's still getting to know these quarterbacks a little bit, but obviously interesting to hear him talk about how, it's going to be a little bit of a case of, you know, these are young quarterbacks. They want to get him a ton of reps in the spring, and he's obviously going to be working hands-on with them to get those improvements in right away.
Yeah, they absolutely need the hands-on help. They are, you know, two true freshmen who, you know, if they were any other person, they would still be in high school right now, right? And then you have someone who's technically a junior but has minimal playing experience and wasn't in the quarterback meeting room early in his career. So, yes, he's a junior, but he's still young, too. So he could really benefit from a little bit more hands-on coaching as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it was good to hear him talk about, hey, he said, me and Satterfield, we're talking the same language. Like, we're sitting down, going through the playbook, saying, you know, what worked? You know, what personnel do we have coming back? So, clearly, I think this is going to be all hands on deck. They're going to tweak this offense, you know, get it ready, get it to go, well tuned to those players' strengths. So that was notable hearing from Glenn Thomas. And then also some roster updates. We always have that whenever Matt Rhule gets the chance to meet the media, you know, after an extended period of time. And, you know, one of the details as well, talked with offensive lineman Ethan Piper a couple weeks ago. You know, he was coming off a really difficult injury, and Rhule confirming that Piper going to be retiring from football.
Yeah, and Ethan had talked to the Omaha World Herald's Evan Bland about that decision, knowing that it was going to be a really hard uphill battle. He wanted to try, but just knew that his it's probably not in the cards for him. But nothing to report yet, but it wouldn't surprise me if you still see him around in some capacity.
Yeah, certainly a well-loved figure among his teammates, and credit to him for a great, great Nebraska career. Really a stalwart on that offensive line for a while. So that was notable, as well as the players who are going to be missing at least an extended portion, if not all, of spring practice. Among them, Gabe Irvin and Ramir Johnson, Malachi Coleman, Isaiah Garcia-Castaneda, Prince Wellamon Mielen. Common thread, season-ending injuries, had surgery, you know, one of those factors, and certainly going to be recovering for the spring. But Turner Corcoran, seemingly perhaps the most serious among them, had foot surgery last fall, Rhule saying that could perhaps push him out of all the spring and not have him back till the fall.
Yeah, which that's a bummer. But if there is a silver lining to it, it'll let those younger guys be able to get some reps, which is always a good thing. But yeah, Turner just needs to rest up and get back to being healthy.
Yeah, one of the key veteran offensive linemen for this team. So that is the football update. We'll move into men's basketball. Still, usually we spend a lot more time, but we got some juicy details to get to later. But the men's basketball update, split a pair of games last week, and it was really kind of the same game, but in different fashion. That being that Nebraska fell behind huge against Northwestern. It was like, it was over in the first half. I mean, they were down, what? They were down 20, 30? I mean, it was...
They were down... So I didn't watch every minute of that game because I was at the National Girls and Women in Sports Day event. A better way to spend my time, apparently.
No kidding.
But when I came back in the office, they were down by 15, and it felt like the game had just started. I'm like, well, okay, that one's over.
Yeah, I think it was a 20-point deficit there in the first half. Really difficult to come back from. Just didn't have a great defensive night. That's something that they've struggled with a little bit in these road matchups. And Northwestern 11 for 25 from 3-point range. Nebraska had 17 turnovers. Just not well executed. But contrast that with what happened when they go back to home, play Michigan. I mean, that thing was over 15 minutes into the game. I mean, it was incredibly lopsided. Nebraska led by as much as 30, ended up winning 79-59, emptied the bench. A lot of people got playing time. Obviously, the starters played a big chunk of the game, contributed, but really good to see, I think, the all-around effort in that win.
Yeah, except for the last, like, few minutes of the first half. It was a 30-point lead for Nebraska at one point, and then Michigan got it a little closer. And if Nebraska didn't go out to a little bit of a run to start the second half, it could be a completely different story. So things to learn, still things to work on, but definitely a confidence booster before they went into this off week.
Yeah. And Nebraska, record on the season, 17-8. Most wins of the Fred Hoiberg era already.
Yeah. It was probably going to be possible just because of what their non-conference slate looked like.
Good point.
But hey, we're still talking NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. As of yesterday, I have not checked today's ESPN bracketology, but as of yesterday, an interesting one, them with the 10 seed in Omaha.
And who else was in Omaha?
Iowa State and Kansas.
Ticket prices, oh my gosh, they would be through the roof.
That would be insane. Yeah. So I did a little procrastinating yesterday before I needed to write something, and then news changed that. I went to see, I'm like, how many times has a 10, 11, 12, et cetera, seed played an hour from home? Once since 2015. Dayton played in Columbus. So some teams that had those low seeds had played like 2 hours away. But yeah, not a common occurrence by any stretch of the imagination for your lower seeds in a pod to basically get home court advantage.
For sure. Yeah, that is quite the interesting projection. There'd be a lot of happy fans if that turned out.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Not me. I would not be happy about it. But as we all know, it's totally about me. Not. You know, it would just, you know, it's a little too close for a hotel. So I'd have to do what so many Nebraskans do every day, is drive back and forth. Yep. And that is
the I-80 commute.
That is not what I want to do with my time. So, but yeah, that would be nuts, though.
Yeah.
Good luck getting a ticket to that. But there's still plenty of basketball left to be played and constant changes to bracketology before Selection Sunday in like three weeks.
Yep. Certainly Nebraska looking good right now, holding their own in Big Ten play, and obviously got to keep taking care of business, you know, with these home games. And Saturday at 11 a.m., it's an early tip-off. Penn State coming to PBA. A couple good scorers on that team. Could be a little bit of a test in that one, too.
Yeah, it'll definitely be interesting. At 11 a.m., that doesn't happen very often. Yeah. So, but Nebraska does practice early, so it's not their morning practice team, so it's not going to catch them completely off guard.
Yep, fair enough. So just the one game this week for the men's basketball team. Again, looking to keep that momentum going. And moving on, I think, to our larger portions of the podcast today, talk about the women's basketball team. What a week they have had. First off, it was an incredible, I think, another really good defensive effort against Michigan. Beat them the second time this season, 65-59. Alexis Markowski had a great game and really big to bounce back from that Rutgers loss. We talked about that last time when they're going to be going into a huge game against Iowa. Like they needed to get that one under their belt.
Yeah, it's the past week for Nebraska women's basketball just shows you never know what's going to happen. You can lose to the worst team in the conference, then you can beat the best team in the conference. Sure, because that totally makes sense. But that's just how it goes. You never know what's going to happen night in, night out. And this past week was like the example of that.
Absolutely. So the huge, huge news of the week, of course, number two, Iowa coming to town. Nebraska, you know, steals the show. Caitlin Clark going for the NCAA women's scoring record. 82-79 upset win. And I think the craziest thing about this is Iowa led by 14 points going into the fourth quarter.
Yep.
They played a phenomenal game.
Yep.
And Nebraska just completely, I don't want to say dominated, but played lights out in that fourth quarter. I mean, they were phenomenal offense, defense, all aspects of the game.
Yeah, so Nebraska changed up its defense going into the fourth quarter. They switched to a box and one, and Iowa had not prepared for that with them because that's not something Nebraska normally does. And Iowa had a tough time adjusting to that. They didn't adjust to it. Caitlin Clark was held scoreless in the fourth quarter for the first time in her entire career. Like, that doesn't happen. She only needed 8 points to break the NCAA scoring record, and they held her to nothing. And it's not like she didn't shoot the ball. Yeah. People were like, oh, well, they wanted her to, you know, get the record at home. No, she shot the ball. It just wasn't going in. She wasn't getting good looks because Nebraska's defense was just completely keyed in on her, and they just couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, and I think it was obviously the whole Iowa offense was just like completely out of sync in that regard. I mean, it was their whole shot selection like was so marginally different from those first three quarters. And I think we saw that obviously in the end of the game effort that Caitlin Clark threw up there. But you got to give credit to all these different Nebraska players, foremost amongst them, Jazz Shelley. I think just ice in her veins, hit that go-ahead three-pointer.
With 30 seconds to go, mind you, Nebraska hadn't led at all game. Not even, you know, a 2-0. Mm-hmm. No, they hadn't led at all. And when that three-pointer went in, I was about as loud as that place has been for a men or women's game all year.
Yeah.
It was nuts. Because you had all the Nebraska fans who were super excited, and you had all the Iowa fans who were in like total disbelief that the meltdown had happened.
And then she hits four clutch free throws too. Talk about pressure. Incredible. Incredible from her, and rightfully, I think, gets some national recognition, named the AP National Player of the Week. First time in program history that has happened.
Yeah, it's pretty special. Yeah. She has had an incredible season. Her triple-double in December comes to mind. But that performance that she had in that fourth quarter was just incredible.
Yeah, special to watch. And Alexis Markowski also had a great game, another double-double for her and Jazz Shelley. Big moment, too, as they beat Iowa for the first time. You know, it's been a great program hanging over those two players for a little while. And another court storming at the end of it. We got to talk about it. Is this some PBA magic this year?
There's something. Yeah. There's something about it, man. I can't quite put my finger on it, but it was pretty special. And one of the first people on the floor after the buzzer went final, Josiah Alec and a bunch of the basketball team.
Yeah, top 10.
Got a different perspective on a court storm, which I thought was pretty special, too.
Really cool. Top 10 opponents, be warned, coming into PBA. And also of note, talking about awards, you know, Jazz Shelley and the National Player of the Week. Natalie Potts, I named Big Ten Freshman of the Week for the sixth time. I stopped leaving it off these podcast episodes because she's kept winning it. She's been a double-double machine. I think what's she averaging, like eight?
It's a
game or something like that. Yeah.
Just give her the Big Ten Freshman of the Year award now.
Absolutely.
Like, why wait?
Yeah.
It's crazy. You know, I think she, you know, it's not a new award to this program, considering there's a current player on the team that won that her freshman year with Alexis. So,
yeah, really good. Really good success there. Those two post players having a great, great week for Nebraska. And this win over Iowa, it was watched by a whole ton of people. Of course, it was a record crowd, 15,000 plus at Pinnacle Bank Arena, and then 1.8 million people watching on TV. Really cool.
Yeah. It's the same number that watched a Nebraska volleyball match earlier this season. An incredible number. And if it just shows that if you invest in women's sports, it'll happen, right? And everyone's saying, oh, well, everyone tuned in to watch Caitlin Clark. Yeah, they did. But she didn't win. And so hopefully all of those people will buy a Peacock subscription because that's where they're playing. when she goes for the record, I think today, tomorrow, I think today, it's been a long week. But yeah.
Soon, when she goes for the record soon.
When she scores 8 points in the yep. first 3 minutes of the next game that she plays.
I was going to say, she's probably had minutes of play she scored eight points in. So yeah. will be interesting to see when that record falls. It's going to be a great moment for them. But of course, Nebraska women's basketball got that win. And unfortunately, the story doesn't really end with the game. The post game was a notable, this, you know, caught national media attention. Iowa head coach Lisa Bluter caught loudly complaining as Alexis Markowski answered a question. And you asked that question, didn't you?
I did. So there was a really special moment on the floor after the game that I caught Alexis. In the chaos of it all, found her dad, and they were hugging and celebrating and taking pictures and screaming and all of those, like, really excited, like, cute things. And so I wanted to ask her about it. So I asked her about it. And then, like, a sentence and a half into her answer, Iowa opened the door to the media room, and Lisa lost her mind, saying some things that we can't repeat on the pod without getting bleeped.
Yep.
And so for those who are a little bit confused as to, like, how that happened, so traditionally, the opposing team usually goes first for postgame, but Nebraska did not know that Iowa hadn't gone yet because they were on the court for a long time celebrating. Like a long time.
Over 20 minutes, right?
About that, yep. Yeah. And then, mm-hmm. you know, went into, like, it was so long that one of the staff members was, like, calling the players into the locker room because they, you know, needed to have their post-game meeting.
Sure.
Like, that doesn't normally yep. happen. Like, hey, like, need you in the locker room.
A and lot of more course, business-like,
and
usually,
of course,
yeah.
like, they weren't listening. They were having fun with their friends and yep. family. And so it took a very long time for them to get off the floor. I was out on the floor until all of them went in. And I had accepted that Iowa probably had already gone. Like, I totally thought that Iowa had already done their post game because it took forever to get Nebraska off the floor. And so when I got into the media room, like, the most full I've ever seen it, they're like, no, Iowa hasn't gone yet. And I'm like, really? Interesting. And so Nebraska comes into the media room, and I believe they're assuming the same thing. Their sports information director, he says, you know, this could be a little disjointed. Like, when Iowa shows up, we'll give them the room, basically. Mm-hmm. And then Iowa came in, and before anyone could say anything, you know, get Nebraska off of the podium is when Lisa started going off on her X-rated tirade. And then she stormed off, but Caitlin Clark and Kate Martin stayed, and they waited. They're like, yeah, we'll wait. So they gave a longer press conference, actually, than was asked of Nebraska. And yeah, there was a very interesting
Yeah.
memorable moment in PBA.
Yeah, if you want the video context for what we're talking about, we do have the video up, journalstar.com. You can check that out. And I will say, just from, you know, outside perspective, I wasn't there. Just what a bad look from Coach Bluter. I mean, you gotta handle losing with a little bit of class. You know, obviously it's a difficult, you know, obviously, you know, you have your post-game team meeting, you have travel plans. People understand, like, you got to follow a schedule. It's stressful, but yelling at people, you know, going, you know, having that moment caught is already a bad look. And then the fact that Caitlin and Kate Martin both did the media situation, fielded questions, she never came back and did that. That's, I think, very, very weak leadership, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was a mess. You know, and the whole, we have a flight to catch. It's not like you're flying commercial. Like,
right.
It's a charter flight, and it's like a 48-minute flight. Like, yep. It's a 4-hour drive for us plebes.
Yeah, I'd say put them on some buses. They wouldn't have even got back there that late. So.
No, but yeah, it's just...
Really, really an odd situation. Yeah,
I'm sure a lot of people rolled their eyes at that remark in general. Oh, we have a flight to catch. Yeah. Never in the history of ever has a charter flight left without the people that's supposed to be on it. Never.
And if it did, that would be an all-time mistake there. So,
or like, what if the game had gone to overtime?
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you afraid that the plane's going to leave you then? No, of course not.
They could have had a shorter team meeting. You know, there's a litany of reasons why that reaction was not appropriate for that moment. So really, you know, kind of strange to see that. But ultimately, you know, Nebraska gets the win. Iowa getting some unfortunate attention after that one. And hey, you know, looking forward for this Nebraska team, I mean, what an incredible resume booster this is. First of all, for their seed in the NCAA tournament coming up, and it's a win over number 2 Iowa and playing number 2 team again this week. Ohio State now
tonight,
ranked number 2.
Yeah. It's the curse of the number 2 team. I think the number 2 team more often than not has recorded a loss when they've been ranked at that spot. So maybe the magic continues for Nebraska tonight. The listeners will probably know by the time this comes out, but you never know.
Yep, going to be a difficult one.
It's going to be a really difficult one. Ohio State is a very hard place to play.
Yeah.
And they're an incredible team this year. So if Nebraska could do it again, that would be insane.
Mm-hmm. And both games on the road this week. Huskers will play Purdue on Saturday as well before returning home. So big week for the women's basketball team. Good news, obviously, that big upset win. But the bad news that we alluded to earlier in the podcast, the Nebraska softball team, really, really devastating news for its season. In the opening game of the year, pitcher Jordy Ball, she suffered an injury, left the game. We now know that injury is to her ACL. Will cause her to miss the remainder of the season. Nebraska expecting that Ball will be able to redshirt and be back in 2026, fully healthy and ready to go. But injury happened. I mean, it was the third inning of the season. All the hype, all the excitement, the promise of this team. So deflating to see.
And it, like, as we talked about off camera, it didn't even look that bad.
Yeah.
It just looked like she tripped, tweaked her ankle. Okay, out for a couple weeks, whatever. I think the news of it being as severe as it was took everybody by surprise.
Yeah, and certainly the moment when it happened, you know, obviously she twisted her ankle, or, you know, didn't land right, I suppose you could say, on a delivery to the plate. And then, you know, you get hurt like that. You know, she stayed down for a little bit, but was pretty quickly able to hobble back to the dugout. But as we know, you can walk on an ACL. So that was not, you know, the case. But, you know, obviously it didn't look so bad. But stuff like that, you know, it's not always, you know, physically right away you're able to tell. I mean, that's something that they need imaging and other things to detect. So certainly when they got that and were able to confirm that, they were able to make that decision. And gosh, you just have to feel for Jordy too. I mean, she's such a competitor, had 2 great years, I'm sure was looking forward so much this season, and now got a watch from the bench, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's a bummer. I just, all the other words that I want to say are also not applicable to be said on a podcast. Yeah. So,
but I think
I just feel awful.
Yeah. It's worth pointing out though, you correctly identified that women's athletics has had a rash of these really tough season-ending injuries. Reagan Robbie, I'm blanking a little.
You made that, yeah. Lindsey Crosby, I guess, yeah. Allison Widener, yep. Abby Squire, Jordy Ball.
Yeah. And the good silver lining, I guess you could say, is that those other programs, incredible seasons, soccer, volleyball, made the tournament, went really far, obviously. And this women's basketball team is looking to do the same, too. So that potential is still out there for the softball team. And I think we kind of saw the immediate reaction to that in this tournament in Mexico. Nebraska lost that first one 8-0 to Washington, and were nearly no hit against Duke. I mean, these are two top 10 teams, two teams that went really far in the NCAA tournament, College World Series, Super Regional last year. But then next two games, they were able to bounce back. 7-2 win over Long Beach State, 3-2 win over Utah Valley. Billy Andrews had a couple home runs. I think the entire lineup really kind of woke up in those final two. And worth noting that that win over Utah Valley, Samantha Bland, great, great dive and catch there in foul territory, made the last out. So the defense really showed up too. But the question for this team is going to be, hey, Jordy's out. Like, these other pitchers really got to step up and eat up these innings now.
And I think they will, right? Like, obviously, this wasn't the plan, so it might take a little bit of time to adjust, right? Mm. But, I mean, Sarah Harness and Kaylin Kinney are really good pitchers, and I think they will salvage some things.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, the sky isn't falling, the season's not over, right? One tournament into the season. Like, there's plenty of time to figure this out.
And I'll also say this team, they went through the exact same thing last year. Like, if anything, this team is going to feel like battle tested, like veterans, mm-hmm. like, hey, we've been through this, we made the tournament, we can do it again. That's probably the feeling that'll be going through this Nebraska softball team. And obviously, as you said, I mean, Kaylin Kinney and Sarah Harness, they pitched 20 of the next 22 innings in Mexico following that injury. Kaylin Kinney picking up both those wins. She was fantastic. So expect to see those two seniors getting the bulk of those innings. And also freshman left-hander Caitlin Olinsky pitched two games out there in Mexico. Rhonda Ravel, she was talking to Huskers Radio Network, and she was saying the ball injury, Caitlin Olinsky came out of the bullpen immediately after that. And she said, well, Caitlin was the only one in the bullpen. Like, that's how much that, you know, that moment just came out of nowhere.
It did.
Yeah, she was the only one up and warm, and she came in, and Washington, you know, a veteran team, that was a really tough moment to come in, but pitched again later in that tournament. Obviously, she's going to be a big fixture for this team moving forward, too.
That's why you always have someone warm. You yep. never know what's going to happen. And, you know, she faced like three batters, I think, in that, and she did what she could.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But that experience, you know, shows that, you know, coming back in, of course, a couple days later and improving as well. She's going to be part of it. A couple other freshman pitchers, we'll see how they work them in. But again, that'll be kind of all hands on deck situation. Obviously, Jordy was going to throw a lot of innings for this team. You know, two-time All-American, that loss is going to be huge. But as we, for all the reasons we said at the beginning of the year, the team outside of her is immensely talented. These NCAA tournament hopes, I think, aren't going anywhere. And they'll be back at it in Las Cruces, New Mexico this week. They'll play five games at the Troy Cox Classic, Mary Nutter Invitational the weekend after that. That'll be big test, mm-hmm. a lot more of these national powerhouses. But we'll certainly, I think, we'll learn a lot about this this Nebraska softball team these next 2 weeks.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so really tough news there with Jordy's injury, but appreciate all of you, all you listeners out there. I know we had to go through these sports quick. It was pretty jam-packed today.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. And, you know, I've got a rifle story that's going to publish later this week, and then a swimming story publishing next week. So there's still plenty going on in the world of Husker athletics.
Certainly, yeah. So stay tuned online, of course, for all those updates. And that'll do it for today's podcast. Appreciate all of you regular listeners and viewers for coming back to us. And we'll be back at it next week with more updates in Nebraska athletics.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.